Please raise your hands if you have any questions and we'll call on you. Cameron Cox.
Hey, Madison, just what did it mean for the team today to get the win in that fashion on the day that Torrey gets his extension?
I mean, you could turn it into a cool story if you wanted to, but I was just glad to – I think everyone's just glad to get the win in general. It's been, obviously a tough year. So, getting the win was good for us, no matter what the circumstances. But, I would rather win with that announcement than lose, obviously, but I'd rather win anyway.
Zach?
Madison, how did you feel about how you pitched?
I felt good. I threw a lot of pitches. I had a lot of deep counts. But after the third, I think I had close to 70 pitches. So to get through two quick ones after that, and know we could have went one or two more after that if we needed to, was I can leave here feeling good about that.
At least according to the pitch tracking, you've been throwing a sinker a little more often recently. It's not a pitch you've ever really used in any kind of quantity before. What's kind of led you to that?
I'm always tinkering, just trying to get any little edge that I can get. And I have been throwing it. The I'm not sure if this is good or bad, but the data, it's 50-50 whether it gets it right or not. A lot of times I throw – sinker and it says fastball, and I'll throw a fastball and it'll call it a sinker. So can't go off of that exactly just yet, but maybe it'll get dialed in the more we go.
Jake.
Hey, Madison, just since you've been here, what have you liked about playing for Torrey, and what do you like about what he brings to the team?
He's a great communicator, great person, easy to be around, easy to play for, easy to root for and want to do good for. So, he's got all that stuff. He's, obviously good baseball guy and knows the game, and he's fun to play for. I'm glad he's going to be back.
Back to you, Zach.
Madison, obviously it's good for Torrey to have that weight off of his shoulders, knowing he'll be back next year, but is it also good for the guys in the clubhouse to just not have that be an open question heading into the end of the season?
I think so. Probably I don't think it's a huge deal, but I think it does help a little bit, because, you never know what's going to happen, especially after, regardless of whose fault it is, years like this, you see the consequences of that a lot of times, and whether they deserve it or not, it's just part of the gig. So I'm glad he's going to be back.
Any other questions for Madison? All right. Thanks, Madison. Thanks, Seth. We'll be back in a bit, guys.
Thanks, Madison.
Thanks. And we'll call on you. Go ahead, Mark McClure. Mark?
Hey, Torrey. Thanks for the time. Hey, just seeing the news today before the game, your team goes out and gets a win the day you're extended. What's the day been like for you, and what's it meant to stick around for another year and get the news of the extension?
Yeah. First of all, the win was an unbelievable win. These guys went out and in a game where we were getting pushed around by their starting pitcher, and we weathered the storm, and they rallied around one another and come up with five big runs. And it was just, unbelievable effort by these guys. And they've been doing that all year long for me. Some very tough circumstances. They fight, they unite, they stay focused, and they went out there and executed. So, it was a great moment for all of us to win that baseball game. For me personally, I'm humbled and honored by this extension. First of all, with Ken and Derek, having enough faith in me from the dugout level to continue pushing this ball forward day by day. We know what the record. I know what the record looks like. I'm not an idiot. I know what can happen in these types of circumstances, but they have enough faith in me to continue running this team from the dugout level, and I'm going to give my absolute best effort every single day to get this thing turned around and push in the right direction. As far as my direct bosses, Mike, Amiel, and the rest of the front office, the same with them. I couldn't be more grateful for the trust they have in me to continue doing what I can do to grow and learn every single day. And I'm not the same manager I was 4 or 5 years ago. I'm going to continue to progress and do the things that I need to do that's going to help this organization get back on its feet again and move daily in the right direction.
Cameron Cox.
Hey, Tori, congratulations. Just what was your reaction when they told you? Did you kind of know this was coming, or were you worried? Was it weighing on you these past few weeks?
Well, I mean, I think human nature takes over, and I'm probably lying to you if I'm telling you I never thought about it. Of course I did. But I had a job to do every single day. These were very turbulent waters. And you've heard me use the phrase, right? I was a captain of the ship, and I had to organize that bridge and keep it on course. But you know, when I thought about it at night, I was awfully curious about what would be happening, and I'm grateful that it was taken care of at the time that it was. Obviously, I had a conversation with Mike. We were able to get grounded, understand where this thing was and where it needs to be going. And, he expressed that he has the utmost confidence in me to get it going again in the right direction when it comes to wins and losses. So at that point, yeah, I started to feel a little bit of relief, but still I'm not going to be satisfied just because I have this extension. I'm thinking about some of the bitterness that I've had this year that I've got to work through because of what we've gone through, and cycle that and learn from it. I think that's what winners do. And it's not just me. I want to say this organization, winning organizations figure things out and learn from some of their mistakes. And that's, I'm going to work as hard as I can over the next several weeks and beyond to make sure that we're growing and I'm growing in the right direction.
Zach.
Tori, going into next year, I'm curious how you think your job will change just in the context of where the team is now and kind of getting back to building a winning organization. Do you feel like it will be even more of a teaching and developmental job as you're kind of bringing along so many younger players than it was before?
I'm player development at my core. I spent 10 years in player development before I had an opportunity to get to the big leagues as a coach. And I believe in development for every day of your career until the day you retire. You know, you see some Hall of Famers that stand up on that podium in Cooperstown saying that they never stop learning and evolving and making adjustments day by day. So that's been my mindset. We are developing players here at the big league level. Of course, it'd be nice to, have a push button team, but I don't think that happens in the game anymore. You have to work year round. You have to be prepared and keep pushing these players and maximizing their potential to be as great as they possibly can. And that'll never stop. That's part of my DNA, but we're going to continue to do that. We've been doing that more so at the back half of this year with these young players coming up, and we will continue to do that. Yeah. I know you want to know a projection about what my expectations are for next year's team. I can't quite get there. It's not my department. Mike and his group will put together the best team they possibly can. So when we step into the field over Salt River in 22, we're ready to rock and roll.
Mark?
Sorry, just to follow up. I guess I kind of meant just like, do you feel like that meshes with your skill set? If you're going to be bringing along more young players next year, that's something that you've got in your toolbox.
I think so. And whenever I don't have my toolbox, I better ask some questions and figure out how to get there. So, yeah, I think it's pretty much right in my wheelhouse as far as development and pushing guys and understanding how they're challenged and how to challenge them every single day.
Go ahead, Mark.
Hi, Corey. You just mentioned that you're a different manager now than when you first came here 4 or 5 years ago. How are you different, and what have you learned?
I probably need to give you just a quick answer. This might take an hour, right? If we were out having dinner, I'd give you a totally different answer. I think game management, I've changed my style a little bit. You saw some pinch hitting that happened today. My approach to the players, my interactions with the players still exists, but I'm probably establishing a little bit more of a barrier between me and the player. And I just think it has to be done that way. You have to make some tough decisions on these guys. And, being everybody's best friend is not a great recipe for what I feel is probably one of the more important parts of my position. So I love the players. We have a very special bond. I will never replace that, but that will never, ever bleed over into me having to make a tough decision in game, post game, mid season, whatever it is. So that I learned that over the past couple of years. It's been probably a pretty important feature for me.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Jack.
Actually, just kind of, first of all, congratulations, Torrey.
Thank you, Jack.
And piggybacking off the answer you just gave about creating a little bit of a barrier, a lot of times you hear various people talk about the word accountability, and mm-hmm. there needs to be more accountability. And I'm just curious, like, you know, from your perspective, what does that mean in this context? Because you can't just fire a ball player. It's not your role to do that. So, you know, what does accountability mean for you in the clubhouse and on the field?
Me personally,
for you and for getting accountability from the players.
Yeah. That's a word inside of our clubhouse. It's a word that we throw around a lot, right? What does it mean? You can use it and say it until you give a definition and believe in it and execute it every single day. It doesn't mean a thing. So we talk about holding one another accountable. I have everybody around me calling BS on me if I do something that's outside of the lines. And I think we have a group and we have a culture that has been established among the coaches where we do hold one another accountable. We come up with a game plan and we execute that game plan. If we come anywhere short on finalizing that game plan or developing that game plan, we're going to go out there and figure out how to hold each other accountable. Accountability for players, is doing what you say and saying what you mean, going out and living exactly what you want to be day by day. And, I establish rapport with these players. I understand where they're coming from. I outline my expectations. They share their own with me. And then I hold them to that. And when they don't meet that standard, that's when I jump in and hold them very accountable. And I think teammate to teammate, they do a really good job of it. It's awfully hard inside of a young clubhouse for, you know, one player to hold another player accountable. But I've given full authority to everybody inside this clubhouse, no matter what type of service time they have. I think you can throw that out the window. We have young players here. That group of young players has to hold one another accountable. So it starts at the top and works its way down.
Back to you, Zach.
One of the things Hayes talked about when we spoke to him earlier today, was kind of you and him talking over and figuring out a way to play some of these guys in different positions and kind of get a look at their versatility and getting comfortable with that, both for them doing it. And I guess you as a manager, putting them in those spots. I was wondering if you'd just tell us a little bit more about that.
About that conversation that I have with Mike, you're talking about?
Yes. Yeah. And just kind of getting used to managing and filling out your lineup that way.
Yeah. You talk about certain adjustments from my first year of managing. I think that's one right there. I had one set pattern, one set lineup, and that particular group of guys, it seemed to work. But where we're going and what we're doing, I've had to learn over the past few years to kind of plug and play. And we have an assortment of really good, young, talented players that we're still evaluating. We're trying to get a good feel for what their strengths and certain limitations are. And when we see limitations, we're going to attack them. So our conversations are always centered around what's going to help this team move forward and how are we going to win baseball games and how can we maneuver to be strong throughout the course of a 9-inning baseball game. I count on Mike's perspective. You know, he watches me closely. I know that. he's supposed to, but he also watches me from 30,000 feet. And he has done an unbelievable job of developing some of the new habits that that I've been thinking about. And, you know, it's not him coming down telling me you better do this or else. It's a conversation. I've always appreciated that conversation. And I know, always know where he's coming from, because he's just trying to help me learn and help this team grow and help us win a moment. And for me, it's about winning every moment or winning every inch you possibly can. So they're mostly about conversations. Some things I'm slow to evolve with. And sometimes those are our biggest battles. But trust me, when we have conversations, it's about one thing. It's about helping us win baseball games, making good decisions on the players to help us win baseball games.
Hey,
Corey, you mentioned earlier that, you know, you're no dummy. You know what happens when teams have seasons like this. Were there points this year when you were wondering, am I going to be the manager next homestand, next road trip? Or, you know, what has this year been like for you from a job security standpoint? And I know you tried not to think about it, but I obviously you kind of can't help but think about it.
Yeah. You know, I would probably have, you know, the quiet conversations with my wife and just, you know, talking about different things that would be possible, just so we would be prepared for what could possibly be coming down the pipe. And I think those are all normal conversations that you have if you're a business executive with Microsoft, or whether you're a big league manager, right? You have to be accountable and you have to have some reality. So, yeah, I would think about it, but I will tell you, when I walked into this clubhouse and when I was supposed to, you know, do what I was trained to do and brought here to do, I would block out that black noise. I think as baseball players, we've done that our whole life. I would compete as a player day to day, thinking I could get sent out if I didn't have a good game. So I'm conditioned for those moments, and I was able to push it aside and make sure that I was aligned with what was happening day by day with this ball club. That was my responsibility, and I took that very seriously.
Back to you, Zach.
Sure. I know you'll have to make some decisions on your coaching staff pretty soon here. Is that something that, had you just kind of put off thinking about that until your own situation was resolved, or have you already started the gears turning on those decisions?
Yeah, I didn't obviously know what was going to be happening in my situation, right? We just talked about what the potential was. So I think once I got to the point where I was going to be coming back, I was going to let the staff know, and I was going to let the staff know that they were going to continue to be evaluated for the next 10, 11, 12 games. And I'd be, you know, having conversations with them after the season. So, yeah, I have a lot of thinking that I need to do. I've been compartmentalizing that portion of it. I probably just started recently unlock it, but I didn't know what was going to be happening, so I kept it so far back there. But I need to pull it out and start to evaluate and make some decisions.
Zach.
Sure. Did you get to break the news to the players? How did that go when it became official?
You know, I told the staff, look, we've all been rowing in this boat, right? The same way, been in the same situation. So I wanted to let them know what was happening. And I did not tell the players, but the players found out very quickly. So I got a text, probably 2 or 3 minutes after Mike's conference call from Steve Gilbert. And at that point, I knew something had been said publicly, and the players started to trickle in one by one. And that means more to me than anything. You know, some of the reactions the players had in my office, in the dugout, during the game, that's what I managed for.
Any other questions for Tori? All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Tori.
All right. We'll call on you.
Go ahead, Zach.
Josh, just what's your reaction to you guys finding out that Tori's going to be back next year?
Yeah, I actually just found out with you listening to your guys' interview. I had no idea. It was very exciting to hear. I'm happy for him. I'm happy for this team. He's a great guy to lead this team, and especially to get where we're trying to go. You know, he's been through it with us, and there's no better guy to bring back next year for the turnaround.
Go ahead, Zach.
When Mike Hazen, I guess, announced it to us earlier today, he talked about Torrey's handling of younger players and how they liked how he did that a lot this year. Just, you're one of those younger players. Just, can you speak to just how Torrey goes about managing a clubhouse full of guys trying to find their footing in the big leagues?
Yeah, I mean, for me, he's the only big league manager I've had. So when I was in the minor leagues, I've had a couple good managers, and I didn't really know, you know, I've just from hearing from guys in the clubhouse that, you know, I've been around the game for a long time and have had multiple managers, knowing how he treats the younger guys, I know for me, it's been very beneficial, because, you know, hearing some of the stories about how some managers are very distant, you know, don't communicate well. And Torrey's a complete opposite of that. And for me, I think having that is really big for my confidence. And I think that helps a lot of young guys. Cause you know, when you come through minor leagues, your managers, you know, they're going through the same grind as you. They're trying to get to the big leagues just like you. And they're more of your friend, you know, if that's a good way to describe it. You know, they're there for you. They're going to talk to you about things. They're going to be pretty open about what's going on, what they need from you. And in the big leagues, that's not always the case. The managers, he has a job to do, and his job is to set the best lineup. And if you don't perform, it's the next guy up. So to have Torrey around and handle me and some of the other younger guys and be very open with us about what he needs and what he wants and what he's thinking, that's for me personally, that's very big. And I think it's a big part of the success that I've been able to have this year.
Josh, to follow up on that, like what are some examples of when his communication skills manifest itself? Like when will you have these conversations with him? What are they like?
They're just sporadic. You know, there's whether they come up, you know, in batting practice or, you know, even during the game. You know, we had a short conversation today about right after or going into my third at bat after my second at bat against Morton. I mean, he saw that I was frustrated. I took a heater right down the middle, thinking, you know, I had that curveball in the back of my head. And we just had like a short little, you know, open conversation about, like, you know, that's how hitting goes sometimes. Sometimes you expect one thing and you get another and the results aren't there. And I was very frustrated, and he can see that. And, you know, it just takes a little conversation like that to know that he understands, you know, I know at this point how he feels and how he thinks about the game. And I know that he's not upset with me for striking out. But that came with situations like today where he just, you know, has a nice, friendly, open conversation about hitting and the frustrations of it. And when you're facing a guy like Morton and you're thinking one thing and he does the other, and you know, it just brings you back down to earth. Like, I'm not alone in this. I got somebody who is thinking along with me, who understands what's going on. And, you know, there's been conversations early in the year where he brought me into the office and, you know, just talked to me about what he expected out of me as a leadoff hitter. The reason why he was putting me there was because of what I was doing, and it wasn't to go up there and be a different player. You know, we've had many conversations that are very beneficial to me as a player and helped me a lot this year.
Some of the veterans told you that it's not always like that in other places. That what would they say? Like, I don't have that kind of relationship with that manager when I was there, or what kind of examples did they give?
Yeah, not they didn't give any specific examples on how their manager was, just that, you know, that Torrey is different than a lot of other managers in that aspect, that he is willing to talk to guys and be open with guys. And, you know, we even had a meeting in spring training, and he was open with us about the approach he was going to take with the lineups this year. Like, you don't get that from a lot of managers, even in the minor leagues. That wasn't the case. You know, you throw out a lineup and you just, you know, go out there and you just do whatever you can. He was open with us from the beginning. And I think that's just he's given his players a comfort level. You know, you can't play this game you can't play this game scared. And he does a very good job of giving us the confidence to go out there and play and know that, you know, when you get pinch hit for, or when you're called on to come off the bench, or, you know, in those situations when they do come up, he's letting you know why and what he's thinking. And that's huge.
Jake.
Hey Josh, just with the timing of this news, how nice is it to get it now and not have the uncertainty of not knowing whether he's going to be back or, you know, going into the offseason with that?
Yeah, I know me personally, I don't really look into that stuff too much. I try to put it out, but this was actually one decision where I was hoping they'd bring Torrey back. You know, I've gotten comfortable with Torrey and I know how he's thinking. I think he manages the game extremely well. I pride myself on being a high IQ guy. I think I have more baseball IQ than I do, the physical abilities, which has helped me a lot throughout get to where I'm at. And so that was one decision that I was hoping would be made that we would bring Torrey back and he rode with us through one of the toughest seasons. You know, I've been a part of, I think a lot of guys, probably every guy in this clubhouse, it's been one of the toughest seasons that we've ever been a part of at any level. And for to bring in a guy that went through it with us and he's going to know what it takes to get out of it, I think this was a great decision by the organization and Mike Hazen.
Any other questions for Josh? All right. Thanks, everyone.
We'll see you guys. Thanks, Josh.
Hey, thanks, Josh.